I don't remember what I said to him, but I was kind of like, Justin, it's been weeks of this that has been going on and you haven't been doing solution and nothing's been working and whatever. And he said to me, Mom, all it takes is one good day. All you need is one good day. And I remember looking at him and thinking, he's right. We just need one good day of order. And then you kind of feel a reset. If you just have one good day, you feel a little mini reset that gets you back on track.
Listen up, people. That's right. It's time to listen to the sparks of bliss in your life. I'm your host and life coach, Caroline de Posada from Miami, Florida. And this podcast is an invitation to join me in upgrading our mindset, wellness, and relationships so that together we create a life that unlocks our bliss. Join me each week as we explore practical strategies, inspiring stories, and the moments of clarity, or as we like to call them, los momenticos, that make the world a little more magical. Consider this your weekly dose of wisdom in your pocket. Are you ready? Let's do this.
Hey, listener, welcome to episode number 75 of Blissen Up. So let me ask you a question. Do you ever catch yourself waiting for the chaos to subside so that you can then find a little bit more order in your life, in your business, in your habits, in your relationships? Last week, I named October Orderly October. And really, this theme stemmed from having a pretty chaotic September. September was busy for me, and there was no question it needed to be a strong September, but there was a lot of travel, there was a lot of finagling the schedules and figuring things out and expanding capacity, and I was starting to feel a little bit stretched thin, and I realized that I was waiting for October to arrive so that I can then find a more grounded, steady, orderly vibe. And I think it's an important thing to pay attention to whenever you catch yourself waiting for your circumstances to change so that you could feel a certain way. That's a red flag. It was for me and it is for you, because what you will find is that oftentimes you can change the way you feel even without changing your circumstances. But if you're constantly waiting for your circumstances to change, you start to become a victim of those circumstances. And in my case, when I started to reflect on this and pay attention, I noticed there's always chaos, right? In the summer, there was chaos because there was a lot of traveling. The kids are out of school. End of year, there's a lot of chaos with the holidays. Having three kids, there's a lot of chaos because they have different schedules, different needs, different activities, different schools. If tragedy strikes or somebody gets ill and there's a disruption to your schedule, that is chaotic as well. When the kids end school in May, that month is May-cember. It's chaotic. So when you start to pay attention, you realize chaos is abundant. It's always around. So if you are constantly waiting for there not to be chaos, you're going to spend a very small amount of time feeling order. And that's not great, right? It's not great for your nervous system to always feel like you're spiraling. It's important to adopt a calm, grounded energy, even if you have your spikes and even if there are some moments that disrupt you. And for the most part, I think I have done a good job at creating that identity, but this month really threw me off. And I felt it. I felt kind of exhausted. I felt that tiredness from having to go. And in that, I realized how important it is to really create a sense of order amidst the chaos. So that's what today is all about, is how do you build a life where you can nurture order amidst chaos, even when things get busy. And I have three practical strategies that I want to offer you that I have used in the past, that have supported me, and that I'm definitely nurturing right now, just to restore order in my own personal life. So the first strategy is understanding what kind of schedule serves you best. Now, most people operate on one specific kind of schedule, and this concept was created by Paul Graham. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called the, are you a maker or a manager? And the concept is that there's two ways to approach your schedule, the maker's way and the manager's way. But most people just typically handle life with a manager's schedule. What does that mean? That means that your day shifts hour by hour by hour by hour, and you're constantly shifting gears, shifting tasks, shifting roles, and just going from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting, or from task to task to task to task, or from meeting to task, etc., in order to manage your day. And I think most people have a manager schedule. You know, even going back to school is conducive for a manager's schedule, right? You go from period to period to period, then you do lunch, then you do more periods, and then you end your day when the bell rings, right? So we are trained in manager's schedules, and a manager's schedule could be a very efficient and productive way to handle your schedule, but it keeps you at a faster pace. And what Paul Graham discovered was that there are people who are creators that need larger chunks of uninterrupted time for deep work and deep focus. So that's what a maker's schedule is about. Think a writer that sits down and writes a book. A writer cannot write a chapter from 9 to 10 or even 9 to 11. They need ample time to sit down and connect with their creativity, with the words on the page, and have something come out of them. The same thing goes with content creators or tech people or bloggers or podcasters, people that need space for creativity and time to be able to be in flow. They work better on a maker's schedule. So as I was reflecting, what I noticed was, even though I have days that are manager's schedule, they're governed by a manager's schedule, my one-on-one coaching days where I'm back to back to back to back, I typically have those days, but I also have certain days that cater to my maker's schedule, specifically weekends. Saturdays and Sundays are usually maker's days for me. My kids sleep in, my husband sleeps in, so I wake up early and I have hours of uninterrupted time to focus, to create, to download content, to think, to journal, to reflect, all the things. I also typically used to create Monday as a gap day. So I called it bare minimum Mondays, and Mondays were kind of like an admin days. It really wasn't like a maker's schedule day, but it was a day where I didn't have any coaching clients, and I protected that day to ease into the week. So I've had this groove, this schedule, and some days are manager driven, but other days are maker driven, and having that hybrid really supports me tremendously. And what I noticed in September was that I had no maker days at all. Why? Well, because I was traveling every weekend. So, and what would happen was I would have to fit in all of my work Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday so that Thursday I could get ready and then travel. And then I would be out of town Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I just didn't have the ability to have that deep, focused time for work. And that really affected my sense of order. It disrupted me tremendously. Even on Mondays, I have my coaching circle is on Mondays, and I love having my coaching circle on Mondays. And I did it on Mondays so that we can have Mindset Mondays. And I figured it's only an hour in the day, an hour and a half that I focus on my clients. So it's not going to be a disruptor, but because it was on a day that I traditionally had saved as a bare minimum Monday, it really did shift my schedule because I get into the energy, I set the intentions, I prepare for my classes, I host the class, and even just one meeting in the middle of the day kind of interrupts that energy of having a maker's calendar, a maker's schedule. So I couldn't prevent that in September, and that's okay, but I noticed it. And now I know that I need to protect my maker's schedule and nurture that, even if it means shifting some other things around, right? So what it will require me to do, since I have that understanding, is look at my weeks going forward. And if I'm going to have busy travel weeks, I need to have a day somewhere in there where I have my maker's day, where I protect my schedule, because that is very supportive. Other ways of protecting your schedule or understanding your schedule is maybe you can time chunk your activities, right? So you have like a day for admin, a day for running errands, a day for a certain type of work instead of dealing with 100 different hats every single day. Sometimes it's good to theme your days or time chunk your days in a way that you can have focused energy in chunks of a time so that your brain doesn't feel as scattered. So really it's just about an understanding what works for you, how do you best handle your schedule, and then nurture that the best you can, protect your schedule, which is a good segue into the second strategy, because the second strategy is a way of supporting your schedule, and that is creating a team. Now, here's the thing about creating a team. It's not just having a team. It's also having a team mindset, and I'm going to explain what I mean by that. So I announced somewhere, I think I've talked about it a few times, that I bought a book called Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. And that book has been life-changing because it really invited me to audit my time and understand what kind of support I needed in my day-to-day-to-day life, right? The idea behind the book is don't hire to grow your business, necessarily grow your business, hire to buy back your time, because your time is your most precious asset. And sometimes you can delegate certain things in your life to your team so that you don't have to do them yourself, and it preserves your schedule in a helpful way. Now, having a team suggests that you are not the end all and be all of everything that goes on in your life. That's really what it means. It means that you are not an island, and that you do not have to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders, that you get to have support. And sometimes we fall into the limiting belief that we can't afford to have support, that we have to do everything ourselves because we don't have the money to pay for somebody to help us with our life. But I noticed that's a mindset issue. And the best example that I have of it is my coach, Susan Ford Collins. Susan Ford Collins recently had a surgery, and I went to go visit her at her home before the surgery. And then I went to see her in the hospital after the surgery, and I've spent some time with her. And what I noticed was that Susan has a team mindset. What that means is she understands what her role is, what her needs are, What are the priorities? And what roles could she assign to other people to support her in whatever it is that she's going through? And she uses that language. So for example, with her surgery, she has daughters, and she identified that she needed different things from both of her daughters. So one of her daughters was, her role was, she was the communications person. So Susan said to her, okay, what I'm going to need you to do is I'm going to need you to communicate with the doctors. I'm going to need you to communicate with the family after the surgery. This is a list of the people that I want you to message and let them know that I'm okay. These are the people I want you to be in contact with. These are the questions I want you to help me answer. I want you to help me build a team of doctors and experts to support my care, right? So one of her daughters was the communicator. She used her other daughter for care and compassion. So her role was to be more of a caretaker, a nurturer, right? She was the one that was going to stay with her and give her cuddles and, you know, tell her everything was going to be okay. And I don't know, comb her hair. You know, she was kind of like the more of the nurturer of the two. I mean, she was having surgery, so she needed a lot of support, right? But what I loved about it was seeing how Susan is so well equipped in assigning roles to people that her life has a sense of order, because she knows who to rely on for certain things. She knows what she needs. She knows what's to ask for. She knows how to get support instead of letting it be a free for all and whatever happens, happens. And, you know, you feel overwhelmed and not really sure how things are going to go. She also has an employee in which, while she was in surgery, she left certain tasks that she wanted him to fulfill in her absence. So by the time that she went into the surgery, everybody had a task. Everybody had a role. Everybody had a job, including her. And her job was to survive the surgery, you know, go in with a good mindset, be at peace, be calm. So this isn't just about money. It's about clarity. It's about communication. And it's really, really important. I have started to develop a team mindset as well. And I am, you know, I have my executive assistant that I work with, and we are starting to learn how to assign the roles. Who's going to be responsible? Where do I put all of my tasks? Then who takes these tasks? And how do we get the business flowing? And at home, I need to work on this, and I want to work on this, and I invite you to work on this, is having that same mindset that Susan has. Just understanding what it is, right? What is each one of our roles? Can you assign one of your kids to have garbage duty? Can you assign the role of cooking to somebody in your household? What about pick up and drop off? What about laundry, right? How do we create a team where everyone has a role and you have the clarity to be able to ask for what you want, delegate what you can, and focus on what matters most? If you can master that concept of having a team, your life is going to change drastically. It really, really is. So maybe this means hiring a house manager. Maybe this means hiring an office manager. Maybe this means learning how to teach other people to do what you do so that you can multiply your time and your efficiency. It's huge. And then the third strategy is reduce thinking energy. Reducing thinking energy, I talk about thinking energy all the time. What is thinking energy? Give you an example. Let's say that you want to start exercising, but you spend all day trying to figure out what time you're going to exercise, right? You get up in the morning, you don't have a plan. Then you have breakfast. You didn't work out in the morning because you didn't plan it the night before. And then you didn't think about it in the morning. So then you have breakfast and then you want to go out for a run, but you just had breakfast. So now you have to wait a couple of hours because you're full and you don't want to throw up while you're running. So then the day gets busy and you didn't get a chance to go for the run. And then the afternoon hits and now there's traffic. And then you have to pick up the kids at school or you have to take your dog, you know, out for a walk, and then you get a phone call, and then you forgot you had dinner plans with your spouse, or you had a meeting in the afternoon, and then the evening comes and you're like, oh, I have to do something. And then it goes on and on and on and on. That is thinking energy. Instead of having things allocated and having a plan for your day and having some non-negotiables that you don't have to think about, you waste a lot of energy thinking. And the thinking, the spiraling, is what makes you feel overwhelmed and makes you feel chaotic, as opposed to having some non-negotiables restores order in your life. So how do you reduce thinking energy? Number one, non-negotiables. You have certain things that you plan ahead of time so that you don't have to think about them. Examples of that are, let's say you pick a date and a time that you go to the gym every day and you don't think about it. It's like, that's the date and the time. Having a gym that you go to with a class, I think that's one of the reasons why those are effective. You know, going to a Pilates class or going to a strength training class, those are effective because the time is set in stone. It's already been decided for you. You don't have to think about it. All you have to do is decide whether you're going to go or not go, but it eliminates some thinking energy. Another way of eliminating thinking energy is to simplify things the best you can. So an example, let's say you want to meal prep your food, but the concept of meal prep, which is something you're not really 100% familiar with or you haven't tried before, feels vague and elusive and overwhelming. So you spend most of your day thinking about meal prepping, but you don't actually meal prep because it just feels like bigger than what you can handle. And then you start to overthink it and you think it has to be perfect. And you're like, oh, I need to meal prep on Sundays for 4 hours. And then you never have 4 hours on Sunday to meal prep. So it becomes this big thing. And then you constantly find yourself not having food available when you need it because you didn't meal prep. So simplifying that concept is one of the most important things that you can do in your life. How do you simplify that concept? Okay, well, you break it down. You work backwards. This is actually something my new assistant, Fran, she is always telling me, let's work backwards. Let's work backwards. And I have to tell you, it's such a great concept. I love the idea of working backwards, right? She was like, start with what you want to get done and then work backwards. And that's going to make life a lot simpler. Same thing with food. Well, what is it that you are looking for? Well, are you a person who leaves the house, or do you eat at home? If you eat at home, you don't need the same meal preps as if you leave the house. What foods do you need? What times do you need to eat? You know, what kind of foods carry over well? Which ones don't? What can you supplement with? What you can't you? So an example is, let's say that you work from home, but you want to meal prep because you want to have good, healthy foods available and you don't want to have to think about it. You get caught up in your workday in your home office. This is something that happens to me. What my husband and I do is we don't meal prep, but we batch cook. So if we're making this evening, my husband made a chicken parmesan thing that he does, is like really cool thing. So he made this chicken. Instead of making 5 chickens for the 5 of us, he makes 10 chickens, and the 5 of us will eat the chicken. And then we have 5 pieces of chicken left for the next day. And my kids don't eat the leftovers necessarily, but we do. So we'll have those 5 pieces of chicken. And now I know that tomorrow when it's time to eat, I have a piece of chicken in the fridge. And if I'm really pressed for time, I could eat the chicken by itself, or I can add the chicken, put the chicken on a salad. Or if I have, you know, if we have sweet potatoes, we'll make 10 sweet potatoes at a time or 15 sweet potatoes at a time, and we'll keep them in the refrigerator. So now I have a sweet potato and the chicken, and I simplify the eating process. I just batch several foods at once, and then I combine them with things that are quick and easy and grab and go at the moment. Back in the day when I used to work in Brickell at my law firm and I wanted to batch cook, or I wanted to meal prep for that, I knew that I had to pack a lunchbox. So that was a different dynamic. So what would that mean? I would still do the batch cooking, but I would prep, just let's say I would make a salad, for example, the night before, and I would batch cook still the chickens, but I would take the chicken and my pre-made salad that I would make the day before, I would take that with me. Or I would pack certain little things every week the same so that I didn't have to think about it that much. But I would just make it maybe 2 days in advance or just the morning of. I simplified it so that I wouldn't have to spend 5 hours or, you know, whatever on a Sunday. That was never going to happen. The same thing goes with exercise. Let's say that you want to exercise, but it seems incredibly overwhelming. YouTube video, right? YouTube video, the path of least resistance. Get a 15-minute workout on YouTube, and you pick a date and a time that you're going to do it from your house, and you do that little workout and you're done, right? Simplify the process. So that's one of the ways of reducing thinking energy. The other way is nurturing rituals. Rituals are an incredible way to really create an orderly life because they soothe your soul. At least they soothe my soul. So a ritual could be, for example, making the bed in the morning. Something simple, but doing something that makes you feel like your day is organized from the start. Could be making your bed. Whenever you come back to your home and the bed is made, it calms your nervous system. Maybe it's lighting a candle when you get to work or putting some essential oils when you get to your office space. And that's a way of creating order. You can have the ritual of cleaning up your desk space before you leave the office that day, so that when you come back the next day, it looks orderly. So one of the ways of reducing thinking energy, which I think is such a cool thing as it relates to nurturing rituals, is thinking of future you. Performing mini rituals in your life that support future you. It could be the way that you load the dishwasher. It could be the way that you clean your desk. It could be planning your meals. It could be setting alarms on your phone to remind you of things that you need to do throughout the day, right? These are all ways to establish a sense of order in your life. So here's a cute story about reducing thinking energy. When my son, Justin, was a little smaller, he has always struggled waking up in the morning. He's a nocturnal kid. So he always had trouble going to sleep early and waking up early, lifelong battle. And there had been a while where he was just not getting up and not being ready on time to go to school. So he came up with a strategy to wear his uniform to go to sleep at night. So he would get dressed at night and then he would go to sleep in his uniform. And then when he would wake up, he just had to get up, go brush his teeth, eat breakfast, and then be done. And he was convinced that this was going to be the solution to his problems. So he named sleeping in his uniform solution. And every night he would say, "Mom, I'm going to do solution tonight." And my husband would say to him, Justin, putting on your uniform could take you like 3 minutes. It doesn't save you that much time. But if you sleep in your uniform, it's going to get wrinkled. You know, just get dressed quickly. But Justin understood that it wasn't just about the 3 minutes. It was about the thinking energy. He wanted to simplify his life so he didn't have to think about it, because it was so hard for him to wake up in the morning that the less he had to think about, the more orderly he could approach his morning. So every night he would put on his uniform and wake up the next morning and had one less thing that he had to think about, and that would help him be on time. So one day he had had a few rough nights and he hadn't been doing solution. It had been a long time. He hadn't done solution. And he had fallen out of the habit, and then he remembered and he said to me, "Mom, I'm going to do solution tonight." And I was like, I don't remember what I said to him, but I was kind of like, "Justin, it's been weeks of this that has been going on and you haven't been doing solution and nothing's been working and whatever." And he said to me, "Mom, all it takes is one good day. All you need is one good day." And I remember looking at him and thinking, he's right. We just need one good day of order. And then you kind of feel a reset. If you just have one good day, you feel a little mini reset that gets you back on track. So that's kind of like the last thing I want to share with you, which is if you're having a chaotic season and you're in a chaotic time and everything feels disorderly, just remember, give yourself one good day, one good exercise, one good routine, one good day of meal planning, one good day of managing your schedule, one good day of assigning roles to your team, right? One good day of reducing thinking energy. And one day turns into many days. But we all it takes is one day to start resetting your brain and making you feel better. You don't have to wait until all your circumstances have been resolved in order to approach life with a better feeling and a better sense. You just need to do your part. So hopefully that has helped you. These are the little strategies that I use in my life. I am nurturing October with this, with these concepts. I'm really working hard on building a team. I'm bringing back my maker's schedule, and I am focused this month on reducing thinking energy. So now I ask you, what will you implement in your life to bring about some order in your life? So if this resonated with you, I'd love to hear which one of these strategies will you bring into your October? What are you going to apply? Are you going to start working on reducing your thinking energy? Are you going to focus on building a team or having a team mindset? Or are you going to embrace a schedule that really supports your well-being and your personality and your workflow? If you need a little bit of help with any of these things, of course, you can always reach out to me so that we can dive deeper. We can do a consult and see if life coaching is for you. But in the meantime, I hope you'll send me a DM or an email and let me know what your takeaway was and how you are applying it into your life. I always love to hear from you. So that's all I've got for you for today. Until next Sunday, I will see you then. Bye. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for being here. I am deeply, deeply grateful for this time to connect. If you're loving this podcast, I'd love if you could support me by subscribing, rating, and/or leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews help us so, so much. And if you know of someone who could really use a voice like mine in their head, please share this with them and let them know how much you care about their bliss. Now, if you are feeling called to dig deeper and really work on elevating your mindset, wellness, and your relationships to create a healthier, happier, and more meaningful life, then I invite you to schedule a 60-minute complimentary consultation with me. Let's have a meaningful conversation and see if working together is in our future. You can find the link to the calendar of consults right there in my show notes, but you can also connect with me on my website, carolinedeposada.com, or just send me a DM on Instagram, at carolinedeposada. Like my friend always says, the project is big and you're a part of it. So thanks for being here.